It's nice to play with yourself in the MotoGP.
Welcome to the Doghouse here on NTNRadio.com. We just got done recording us as Doghouse Unhinged, which you can get exclusively on Patreon.com/NTN.
Right.
It's like an extra half hour of content or so, whatever we feel.
Normally
like
we'd have Ken spell that, but since Ken,
if you don't know Patreon by now, you should probably turn off your interwebs.
Yeah, and well, okay, let's have Ken spell it for us.
Hold on 1 second. We're good. I didn't turn Ken's mic on.
Ken.
I lost my mouse. There we go. I need to turn Ken's mic on for him to be able to spell it, right? Ken, spell it for us. I don't hear him spelling it.
I think he's mad.
He is on siesta right now. He has gone siesta. He is over there sleeping in his chair because that's what old people do, I guess. I don't know. I'm not old that yet. Old yet? I guess is the best way to do that. A lot of weird stuff going on in the motorcycling world this week. Different things. We'll talk about them both. Well, one of them is that an Azra rider, who I believe was working on her first movie as a stunt motorcyclist.
Yes.
Her name is
Joy S.J. Harris.
S.J. Harris died in an accident while filming Deadpool 2.
Right. She was riding a bike as a stunt rider for the villain in the movie.
Yes, I don't know the
name of the name of the actress she was writing for was Zazie Beetz.
Yes,
who I don't know, but she's playing the character Domino. I know the character Domino.
Yes, okay, right.
But I don't know the actress.
So that happened. We're very sorry for her loss. She was an Azra rider and stuff. And you know, I was watching. I don't remember what movie I was watching, and they had like this big motorcycle like chase scene, and I was like, man, I don't even remember that. And I was like, I wonder who did that. You know, I mean, all the times we see these rides of motorcyclists being involved in the races, and a lot of them in the movies, and a lot of them are former racers, right?
Yes.
I know what it was, and we won't talk about it because I punted. I saw Chips.
I haven't yet.
I saw Chips. It's worse than what we thought.
Can't be.
It is worse. I laughed twice. It was horrible. If you haven't seen it, do it. Because if I had to waste that time, you do too.
It's kind of like there's a show on Netflix. I'm not going to give his name out because I don't like it. My wife likes it a lot.
Well, now you got to tell me.
All right, Frankie and Johnny.
I haven't seen it. I haven't heard of it.
It's got Jane Fonda and Lily Tomlin are the main.
How did you not divorce your wife over that?
Well, because I love her.
Oh, okay.
So she started watching it, and she laughs a lot. And I might laugh once, maybe twice, every other show. Most of the time, it's not funny at all.
I tried to clear my head, and I know Ken's going to be like, we were supposed to talk motorcycle racing. Shut up, Ken. Shut up. I tried to clear my head because some friends of mine had got it from Redbox or something like that, one of these rental things.
Chips.
And they were like, you got to watch it. It's hysterical. And I was like, okay. I was like, I don't really want to watch it because I don't really like the A-Team and the Dukes of Hazzard. It would have been okay if they had made a Dukes of Hazzard comedy or an A-Team comedy kind of thing. But the fact that both those movies were designed to make fun of Chips. I mean, to make fun of the show,
yeah, and right? that's one of the reasons I didn't like it.
And that's exactly right. And you know, and it's like, you know, I grew up, those, you know, the Dukes of Hazzard is why I wanted to jump cars. Chips is why, right? Listen, here's a newsflash. I didn't start riding my motorcycle because some pothead druggy movie called, I can't even think of the one with Nicholson.
Easy Rider,
right? That was not even cool when I was a kid. That movie sucked. It sucked then. It sucks today.
It sucks. It's difficult to watch.
It's horrible to watch. It's just a lousy movie. It's about stuff that, right? Why did I learn how to ride a motorcycle? Friggin' Chips.
Yeah.
I wanted to be Ponch and John riding down the highway watching cars.
My best friend and I were Ponch and John riding our bicycles around the neighborhood.
Right there. I'm on a dirt bike on Ponch and John, right? And the people they had on to ride, you know, when they'd have like the motocross guys on and some of that other stuff, man, that's who I wanted to be, Ponch and John. I didn't ride a motorcycle because it's a bunch of
weirdos. Saying no one's going to get inspired to ride bikes because of this movie.
I wouldn't ride a motorcycle because of this movie.
Oof.
Right? Like, I wouldn't even admit that I saw the movie other than that we have a show and that people like laughing at us.
Well, I'm going to still watch it because...
God bless you.
That's the way I am.
Because if I had to sit through that, you should too. It's horrible. I literally laughed like twice. Once was at the very end of the movie. Something was funny, and there was like one other time where like some lady was like, yelling, you know, like, I don't even know why you would think I'd be interested in you, and that was like it. The rest of the movie was just dumb, and it was dumb to a point where it wasn't even funny. Like, they weren't even funny enough to make fun of it.
Well, unfortunately, I'm a fan of juvenile humor. I love the Three Stooges and all.
Okay, like so do I, right? Like, somebody said, oh, you just don't like good humor. And I said, you know, I liked Why Him, right? You ever see that movie, Why Him? I think...
Yes.
Yes.
Yes, right? Franco, James Franco.
James Franco and Breaking Bad dude.
Yes.
And Heisenberg.
Yes.
Right? I love that kind of humor, right? There was a lot of slapstick humor in it, childish humor, fart joke kind of things, right? I like that kind of humor.
Falling into a vat of deer urine.
No, moose pee. Moose pee, right? And I'm fine with that, right? I laugh at that. I have a good time. Grandma's Boy, hysterical movie. First time I saw Grandma's Boy, I was crying. I was laughing so hard.
Little Nicky, I
don't like Adam Sandler.
I laughed so hard I had wine come out my nose.
But this wasn't even funny, right? It's like, you weren't even funny. You were just being an a-hole. And that's the way I felt about that. Anyways, enough of that. We're sad for the loss of Ms. Harris. And, you know, stunt riding and the cool stuff we see in movies, dangerous, right?
Yeah.
Walking Dead had a guy who jumped out of a building and died. Right? That's like the second stunt actor who died in the last like couple weeks here. So, but on a positive note, let's switch things around, get a little positive here. The Wall Street Journal, if you don't get it,
you don't get it.
Did an article about Shayna Texter,
which we will put up on our Facebook page so you can link to it.
No, we will. You have to click out their stupid sign up for the Wall Street Journal because we don't obviously get it. This is the doghouse. There isn't much we actually get. But it talks about her and her quest to be the first ever female singles flat jack champ.
And everyone who listens to the show knows I've been complaining ferociously over the last 3 weeks. Why is she not getting attention?
You have, and we've all said it, and I think this is great. I think this is the kind of thing the series needs, right? I mean, they've gotten more press than this than a lot of other series. I think this is a great thing for the sport. I think it's a great thing for her. You know, my only sad part about all of this, right, and it's a great article, and I don't normally say that about newspaper articles.
This is a good one.
You know, it talks about her riding her 450 and all this kind of stuff.
Get up to 130 miles an hour.
Yeah, throwing the bike out, you know, you have a lot of trust in your competitors. I mean, it's a good article. I want you to read it. I'm not going to read it. I could read it. It's not a very long article. I could read it. But the sad thing is that she probably won't move to Twins. Like, she could be a star name-wise and talent-wise, but I just don't think she has the size.
Well, she's ridden Twins before.
Yeah, not very well. She did not have good finishes. Didn't make a lot of finals, right? And I'm not knocking her talent because I think she's really talented. I'm just saying she's tiny. She is a tiny girl, a woman, lady. Whatever you want
size
to call
it. Doesn't matter.
It doesn't trying to lump that bike around the corner, right? You know, and I hate that. I hate the fact that
unless she gets a twin that
she needs to grow about 8 to 10 more inches height wise.
She could get a bike that's been, you know, the geometry's been changed to fit her better. But I don't know what the rules are in the twins that even allow that.
Really not allowed.
Okay.
Right? You know, so maybe we can find some way to get her like 10 inches of height and maybe 30 pounds of upper body mass. I mean, she could do the workout in the gym. I just don't think she's physically...
To compete with Mies and Braum.
To compete with a guy who's 8 inches tall. I mean, even when you watch her on 450s and they do the podium, it's like Shayna, and like she's like chest high with everybody else.
Well, you know, that's what, you know, we've seen. How big are Mies and those guys are not that big either.
I bet they're probably, flat trackers are the taller group.
They don't look like it's, some, you know, when they get on the podium at times.
They're the taller group of motorcycle racers. I wouldn't say they're all big guys, but they're pretty much you're not as concerned, like you're not as concerned with being able to tuck in on the bike and down and stuff. You really need to have a big strong leg to put out there and hawk around and slide the bike around and stuff like that. So I just don't think she's gonna have the size to do that. So, well, that just sucks.
She didn't ride in the Peoria TT this weekend.
No, she's not very good at TTs.
Yeah, I don't know if I don't remember. She didn't make the finals, or she just didn't ride in the TT at all.
You know, I missed the earlier. Earlier races.
I didn't watch any of the
normally
semis.
She punts on TTs.
She can't do that much because that's points.
Yeah, but she's got enough of a cushion. Well, let's talk some flat track.
Well, you know,
pro motocross and stuff. But she does have enough of a cushion that she can get away with that. Provided she comes back and wins races, right?
She's
Illinois, Williams Grove.
Even a 10th place finish in TTs is better than 0 points.
Oh, wow. She doesn't have that. She's only got a 2-point lead on Kobe Carlisle, the Flying Tomato, right? Or the JD Beach wannabe guy. But I like Kobe Carlisle. I'm just picking on him for that. But, yeah, she has 1, 2, 3, 4 non-compete things, right? She's really got to worry about him. And 1, 2...
Carlisle finished second.
Yeah.
So he made up a bunch
three
of points.
Three of them are TTs. Right, so that kind of hurts her. Yeah, Jesse Janis won this race. They were at Peoria. I don't know if we mentioned that, the Peoria TT this weekend. Carlisle came in second, and Ben Lowe came in third. TTs are not like the flat track, you know, the plant your foot and stuff, right? It's a little more of it's like a supermoto kind of race,
more or less.
Yeah,
got to jump in the race.
The one
got...
jump in the race. And...
couple of tight turns, sometimes a chicane.
So, I you know, but the rest of the tracks, Illinois, Williams Grove, Texas Motor Speedway, and I don't know, Paris Auto Speedway. Oh God,
you're having issues this evening.
I'm
you're going to cut out. You're going to cut out the wings.
I'm gonna have to cut out something. I think they're all round. Damn it, roundy round tracks left. So she should be good. She's on a tear when she races.
So this was the last TT, or is there one more?
I believe that was the last TT. So
she might be able to do something with it. But yeah, but I said, you know, even a 10th place finish.
Yeah, even a 10th place is better than a no finish, right?
Yeah.
But she's just not they're all mile or half miles from here on out, so she should be pretty good. Carlisle is looking strong though, you know, especially, and he's building some momentum, so that's a little scary. I hope she does it. I would love to come onto this show, damn it, and announce that we have a female flat track champion in the singles,
because she has been racing really well.
That too. She has been racing really well and stuff.
Man, she has shut the door on some late charges by some of the guys, you know, down, you know, out racing them, coming out of the draft on a sprint to the finish line. So her racing talents have really put her where she's at.
She's very talented. Like I said, she'd be a shoo-in for twins, but she's just not physically that big of a person. You know, we talk about that in Supercross, right? We always talk about Malcolm Stewart should be on 450s and not 250s because he's such a big dude, right?
Well, he was on 450s last year.
I know, but and he finally did better than he normally does on 250s.
Yeah.
Damn it.
Even without a factory ride, he was doing pretty well.
Yeah. So then we get to the Twins. And the Twins was kind of a little bit of a shock, but not really, right? If you watch Flat Track, Hammer and Hank Wiles winning his now 13th in a row at Peoria is not really a shock to you.
Yeah, it's a tie. Well, it was. I didn't even know about it because, you know, I've really not been into racing until relatively recently. So I was surprised that he's won 13 times at the same track, and that ties him with the Prince of Peoria, Chris Carr.
Chris Carr was a phenomenal racer.
So he's tied for that for the most wins at that one track.
And that's an impressive. Anytime you're tying a record of a legend, damn it. That's impressive. Yeah.
And it was
he was on a Kawasaki, right?
Yeah,
another non-Indian win.
And he had a good race, you know, with the second place finisher, Mies, right? Mies.
Yeah, he had a good race with Mies.
Drawing a blank there for a second. Nope. So Mies, they had a good race, but then Wiles pulled it out.
Yep.
And Mies, I guess he's starting to think, well, second place points is going to pad my lead, so I just better get it.
Yeah, because Smith finished fourth, who's his nearest contender. Baker's pretty much out of it. I mean, there's only, 100 points left, right?
Yes.
He's
got 41-point advantage going into the last four races.
Going into four races. It's going to be hard because he only has one finish worse than third, and he did not make. There was one race he didn't make, but other than that, he's going to be hard to beat. But yeah, this is the first time I believe that we had. Damn it!
But the all three
two non-Indians on the podium.
Yep.
Right, Briar Bauman and Hank Wiles both on the podiums on the Kawasaki's.
Yeah. Well, the Indians still finished all in the top five.
Yeah, all the top. Right. Everything else in the top five were the Indians. So yeah, it should be interesting. It should be interesting to see how that all turns out. I gotta imagine Mies is going to be the champ. Halbert could catch and pass Baker for third overall. Oh, I know Indian really wants to sweep the points title, so we'll see how that all goes.
I think they're going to.
I don't know. You know, there's only 15 points between Baker and Halbert, and Halbert sometimes can surprise you. Come out of nowhere and throw some good races, then he throws it away with like 12ths. So I don't know how all that's going. God damn hiccups!
Oh, now you're gonna have to go back and beep that out.
I probably won't even bother. Right? Who's gonna complain? Ah, damn it!
One of our thousands of listeners will complain.
You know what? If somebody complains, I'll go back and edit it. But other than that,
well, I'll make sure I complain just to make you.
You're
do
actually
it.
Not important. You don't actually matter. we also had Pro Motocross this week. They were at Unadilla up in New York, which the first race was decent track conditions and stuff. And the second race.
The first 250 race.
The first 250 race. You're
yeah. Because right. It started deteriorating in the first 450 race.
Yeah, it started deteriorating. You're right. I got a little carried away. But the. Oh, damn it.
There, you done it again.
No, yeah, I can say damn it.
No, that's not what you said, though.
No, I just said, damn it. But Joey Savacci, he won the first race with Martin coming in second and Osborne in third. I love the track there. It's a cool track.
A lot of rocks.
Well, it's like kind of in the mountains, right? It's like on the, I guess that'd be the, what? Yeah, it's kind of western side of the mountains. Like near the plateaus and stuff. It's definitely a rocky track, but it's got some loom under it, right?
Mm-hmm.
Which you saw the evidence of that once it started getting nasty, right? It's rocky, but it gets tore up easy, and then if it rains, oh lordy, lordy, lordy,
it gets sloppy.
It gets to be a mess.
Which is during the second race or first two. 450 races started getting that
started raining, and it just gets a little sloppy. And the 250s, we'll go back to that for a second. Martin took the overall on the weekend with his
2-1.
With his 2-1, Savacci had a 1-4, Osborne a 3-5. I thought in the in the first race, seeing Sorolla looked good. Right?
He
the
did.
First race he came and led and then threw it away.
Yeah, he faded him big time in the second race.
Yeah,
he faded. I mean, because it was really sloppy when the 250 started the second time.
Yeah. Osborne still has a commanding lead. I think they have, what, two rounds left, and he has, right, Bud's Creek and the Ironman, right?
That's, yeah. So as long as he, yeah. I think if, as long as he finishes in the top, on the podium.
Just, I don't, if he finishes top 10, I believe.
The rest of the way out.
And the rest of the way out, yeah, right?
I thought he had to finish higher than
he's
that.
He's got a 63-point lead. Right, so he's pretty much got a, he's
well,
got
if,
a.
If somebody does a couple 1-1s,
yeah, he would need somebody, and he'd have to have bad finishes too, right? Because if he pulls a second or a couple seconds, he's pretty good. So it looks like Osborne is going to be winning as the motocross the 250s. But I'm saying that, but who
it's
the
his,
hell knows?
It, I think it's his to lose.
Yes, you're right about that. Speaking of things out there to lose, let's go to 450s. Are we seeing EAI Tomac fold again? That's the question.
It sure seems that way.
It seems like it to
but
me.
He's got enough. But there's Baggett. So Baggett is in second, right?
Yes, sir.
Baggett's not doing enough to take it away from him. And I don't think there's enough points left unless Tomac DNFs something. For Marvin to catch him.
It's some odd points, though, right? It's not that big of a points. It's 27 points.
I know, but...
It's down to 27
but
points.
But if Tomac has, a top five finish, he's not... I don't think there's enough points there for Marvin to... Even if he won once, it's...
Not Marvin, Baggett. Oh, wow! I didn't
Marvin's
realize...
Close
Marvin's
too.
Close to...
Yeah.
Oh, right? What's he got? 6 wins in a row?
Yep. 3-1-1s.
3-1-1s in a row. Wow, he could make it interesting. Tomac got to stay on the wheels, and he's got to finish in the points. He's got a top five.
Yeah, I think Marvin could easily take second.
Oh yeah, I don't even see that being a problem right now. The way he's riding, looked strong even in that soupy crappy.
Oh my gosh,
mud. I mean, that was.
I had to back at the start of the second 450. I stopped it, backed it up, and had my wife come in to watch it because it was just like a fountain of mud flying through the air.
I love that.
I thought I was at the watching the Bellagio, but shooting up brown water.
You know, these guys were like, I love when they go off, they couldn't make it up that one hill, and they're like going off and riding up the grass and just like that.
Or the one guy pushing it back down the hill so he could try it again.
Yeah, you know, it was so slippery and stuff. That was just a great race. Every time I watch that, I think back, and I don't remember where it was, but there was a Ricky Carmichael race where it was like muddy like that during Ricky Carmichael's time that he won, where I think he lapped the whole field in the mud. And it was like that. Like, everybody was struggling to just move anything, and Ricky Carmichael was like the one donkey out there just, wee, 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 wee. Like, ooh, I'm Ricky Carmichael. I'm the greatest ever. And he was. It was a mess. Tomac did the right thing by collecting some points. I kind of feel like he's going to be close, right?
A 10 and a 5. So he didn't collect much points on the first race. And I didn't understand that because, yeah, the conditions were sloppy, but they were worse in the second race.
Yeah.
He finished better.
Yeah, but I think he finished better because guys in the second race were just riding slower. Right, because the track by the second race was
horrible,
just disgraceful. Just I don't want to say the track people did anything bad. I mean, I love the fact that all the fans are out there watching in the mud. Right. I mean, you gotta love that motocross fans.
They had a delay between a couple of the races, and they even stuck that out.
Yeah, you know that you gotta love the fans there. They're crazy.
I think
insane.
They said it was an hour and a half delay between one of the races.
Yeah, it was something
because of lightning.
Yeah. So I'm glad to see, Marvin Musquin's turning things around right now, the way it looks. Supercross is going to be interesting next year. I hope that Tomac is not throwing away another championship in front of our eyes. Damn it.
I don't think he will, to be honest with you.
I hope not.
But if he does, I'm not going to be super surprised.
Me neither. I don't know. I don't know if it's...
This is not the first. The last three races, he's not had that great of a finishes.
No, he's not.
Not the way he started out.
He has not been doing. He has not been. You know, he had but the 2-2.
But at the same time, Marvin was doing great at the beginning of the year. It was just him and Tomac were the only ones really racing.
Yeah.
And then he got hurt. Marvin got hurt.
Right.
And now he's better, and it's really just him. Tomac has faded. Like, he got hurt somewhere.
So, this weekend, right, they're going to be racing over at Bud's Creek.
In Maryland.
In Maryland. 4 days from now. So, I'm pretty sure Bud's Creek got almost 3 inches of rain this morning.
And it's...
It's in a swamp.
It's near the coast.
It's a swamp. It's not near the coast. Bud's Creek's literally the coast. When you're up on the big hill there, the big...
You can see the bay.
You can see that the bay ain't too far. Right? I mean, like, not like you can see the bay. You could be like, oh my God, this thing's really literally in the swamp. I think the weather's supposed to be nice, but I think we have a chance of scattered thundershower all the way to Friday here.
So the track could be...
The track could be...
Quite damp.
Yeah.
And I'm going to throw Cooper Webb out. You know, he actually had his first podium on the 450s this weekend.
You're right.
So he did pretty well. Finished with a 7-3.
I just pulled up the weather forecast for the town...
Near Bud's Creek?
Right near Bud's Creek that I usually have breakfast in when I go to Bud's Creek. And their weather forecast tonight, isolated thundershowers. Tomorrow, partly cloudy. Thursday, scattered thundershowers. Friday, PM thundershowers. Saturday, AM thundershowers. Sunday, AM thundershowers. Soup.
Dun, dun, dun.
Bring a jet ski. You want to win that race, bring a jet ski that can take it in mud. Because that track, I've been to that track where it hasn't rained for 10 days and it's still muddy.
Have a paddle wheel for a rear wheel.
Right. Yeah, get the Robbie Gordon bike with the skis on the side. I mean, not the Robbie Gordon, the...
Madison.
Robbie Madison bike with the skis on the side, right? Because that's what you're going to need. If they get all those thunder showers, the way it's been running, right? Oh, yeah, because there's a chance of that tropical storm coming up.
That's true.
Now I'm thinking maybe we should go. Tropical storm, beer, people sliding around in the mud, flooding. Yeah, that might be a good time, Warren. That might be a good time. So that's not one of Tomac's strengths, right? We learned that he
doesn't seem that
way. That's not a good race for a guy with a small points lead, right? He has to stay up, so he has to race conservative. If you're Baggett, you might as well go for it. If you're Musquin, you have to go for it.
Well,
right?
He has been. That's why he has been. 3-1-1s in a row.
So. Another 10-5 weekend, we have ourselves a race. The final race, you know, this might be the drama NASCAR's looking for with their chase. We could have a final weekend that means a lot in pro motocross and 450s.
Yeah. Even if Tomac wins one of the races next week and Musquin and Baggett finishes on the podium on both and one of them wins the second race, it's going to tighten up tremendously.
It's just going to tighten up, right? So that's a good thing for motorcycle racing there. Then we had MotoGP. We had MotoGP.
Don't get me started with freaking Moto2
in the Red Bull Ring. I'm not even sure I like the name of that. Right, the Red Bull Ring. It just sounds weird. They were in Austria, which is in the news all over the place this week, obviously.
In the world of motorcycle racing.
Oh, and that too. You know, the Moto3 race, I'll be honest with you, the Moto3 race did not impress me that much.
Didn't watch it.
Joanne Mir won again. I had like a 3-second lead. The battle for second through like seventh was good, but he is like, I see him being on a Moto2 bike next year because he's showing himself to be the class of the field. Then we go to... We go to Moto2. Why is the one race that Marquez decides to race hard and be out there and push the one race I need Ludi to win? I think Ludi was faster than Marquez and Morbidelli the whole time. Marquez hit him.
It seemed like it.
It seemed like it. Marquez hit him. I think Ludi just got to a point where it was like, I got to stay up if I want this to happen, because I get near Marquez, he's hitting me. Elbows and shoulders, and he can't afford. It's a 26-point gap, and they still have, what, 8 races to go? Right?
8?
I think
it's 7 now, isn't it?
Was it 7 now? I'm not any.
It doesn't matter. It's a bunch.
Counting, right. There's enough of them that 26 points is not a big lead. Ludi always seems to get hot at the end.
That's one crash for somebody in the lead to go down.
It's one crash. It's 1, 2, 3, 4, 7 races. You were right. I'm sorry. I miscounted that. I counted the watch on their calendar as a race. I was like, they're going to do the test. This is your time.
They're doing the Timex race.
it's not Timex. They don't do Timex. That would be, I don't know, Tissot? Oh, is that a real watch?
Yes.
Looks like a Swiss watch.
It's an expensive watch.
Yeah, I buy my watches at Walmart because I'm an American and that's what we do. But yeah, Morbidelli, he looked good, but he didn't look dominant, right? I mean, Ludi did get ahead of him. Ludi could have walked away with that race, but he overcooked it in a turn and let Marquez and Morbidelli back through. And finally, he just punted on trying to get past them. Or he just said, it's not worth it. Bagnaia, Pacini, they all both had pretty good races, but I think Alex Marquez had the best racecrest race I've seen him ride.
Yes, he looked while. Like he's really living up to his brother's potential.
Yeah, that's pretty much it. Morbidelli got out there, and pretty much he was protected, which, they were talking team orders and this, that, and the other thing, and they were. I definitely think Alex Marquez was faster than Morbidelli too. So I don't know. Maybe there's some kind of team orders going on there, which, some people hate. I don't know if I really actually hate that. Your guy didn't do too. Well, your guy was doing good.
He was doing good.
He was coming fast.
What happened?
He punted it. He was like,
Oliverio is the guy in the pool.
You're always fastest before you crash.
Well, he finished 10th, so he got back up.
No, he finished not classified.
I thought he finished 10th.
No. He crashed. He did not that not classified means he did not get back up. 10th was Ken's favorite rider, Hafiz Saifin.
Why the heck did I think he finished 10th?
You were trying to get me to give you extra points in the pool, which is not going to happen. They had a big lap on a crash on the first lap that took out some big names in the Moto2 things. Quartararo, Cortesi, and Baldessari, who all have had pretty decent seasons.
Nine riders in two separate crashes on the opening lap.
Like, yeah.
Within 100 yards of each other.
Yeah, that's a bit of a nightmare. But it was fun to watch. Nah, nobody got hurt. Everybody seemed to be fine. I don't want to say the crash was fun to watch, but it was just fun to see, guys going all over the place. And it was that sounds jerky. That's not what I meant. But, like trying to get around it and stuff. Put a degree of difficulty in the turn.
Yes.
But, yeah, Morbidelli, for a guy who a couple weeks ago we were talking about, does he actually want to win the championship? I don't know if he wants to win the championship, but Mark VDS wants him to win the championship, and they have a pretty good blocker in Alex Marquez. And if Marquez can do that the next 7 rounds, Morbidelli has the championship. Ludi's looked really fast. If Ludi can get by Marquez on the start, the party might be over for Morbidelli. That's my thoughts.
Could be.
Ken, what do you think?
Can't argue that.
Oh, thank you, Ken. Thank you, Ken.
He agreed with you.
I know. He just shook his head and snorted a little bit to the yes. Then we get to the big boys. The MotoGP, they were a little bit surprising, I guess is the best word I can say for that. The fact that the first, half dozen laps, or maybe a little more, were led by this guy, Jorge Lorenzo, who I thought had retired. I mean, we haven't heard his name in 50, 60, 100 years.
Pretty much.
At least not in a positive way that long. Keno is bad mouths and stuff, but he went out there and he was
had a great start.
Had a great start
on soft. tires.
Yes, he was on soft soft, which helps you have the great start.
Yes.
Right? And his goal was to break away and manage the tires and get going, but he hasn't been able to manage the tires on the Ducati.
Well, he hasn't been able to break away. He wasn't able to break away.
Yeah, and he wasn't able to break away. I think he's lost it. I don't think it's the bike, because it definitely ain't the bike with Dovi.
No.
Now,
they're running the same fairing this weekend, too.
And if you go back, many moons ago, Doghouse, we'll say DHBW, Doghouse before Warren. When
did that Honda... Is that even real history?
When Honda had three riders on factory bikes, they had Casey Stoner, they had Dovizioso, and they had Pedrosa. And they kept Pedrosa over Dovizioso. And I always felt that that was a mistake. I thought at the time Dovizioso was up and coming and had a lot more potential than Pedrosa.
Seems like that at the moment, too.
But Pedrosa had race wins at the time, and Dovizioso didn't. Right? So that's a big thing to these guys. But I feel Dovizioso has adapted to that bike. I feel probably the coaching he's gotten from Stoner, right? This is the first time they've worked together. And he looked really good on it. And he fought off Marquez's charges. There's not a lot of people out there that can actually do that.
No. Right?
Marquez went after him. It was
and
not
he
like,
went after him hard. Even down to the last turn.
Yeah. And it was, you know, he fought that off. Jorge Lorenzo came in fourth, which is surprising. Zarco fifth, beating both factory Yamahas. You know, before the show, we actually played a clip from Maverick Vinales. If you weren't paying attention, one of our listeners sent this in. Andrew sent this in, and he was like, "Hey, I think I found out why Vinales was pretty slow at Bruno, and it was this."
It's nice to play with yourself in the MotoGP.
So obviously, he's not too occupied with the racing or the Czech hookers, so it didn't make any sense.
Well, he might be thinking he has a stick shift instead of a
he might have the old suicide shifter there. Marquez though is Dovizioso is now past Vinales in the points. Marquez is stretching a little bit. I mean, obviously Dovizioso made up some points on him, but he's got I don't know what the math is on that. Looks like about a 16-point lead. But this series is far from over, right? From first to fifth points-wise, and it's been a while since we've said this about MotoGP, first to fifth point-wise is under 40 points. It's only 35 points.
It's tightened up.
Right? So it is tightened up.
I kind of remember Ken, or was it you? I think it was Ken that said that there's no way Marquez was going to be able to come back from that point deficit.
Yeah, Marquez came back. Dovi's charging hard. Vinales is the one who's falling.
Yes, he is.
Right? He is the one who's struggling.
Rossi seems to be maintaining, but he's not.
Yeah,
he's not at the top.
I don't think the Yamaha. I don't think the Yamaha is the strongest bike out there right now, where I would have argued a couple years ago it was the Yamaha or the Honda.
I don't know if you can say that, because Zarco is doing all kinds of great things on the Yamaha. Yes, it's not a factory Yamaha, but if he had the factory Yamaha compared to what he's got, would he be doing better?
I don't know. See, that's what I don't know. That's what I don't know, whether or not...
He couldn't be doing any worse
than
he's doing now.
Whether or not it's the team not getting the setup right, or that the bikes... Sometimes in racing, right, and I say this more about auto racing than I do motorcycle racing, but sometimes the technology is too good. Sometimes right, and I believe that.
I truly believe
that in auto racing, right? I believe.
But Zarco is getting everything out of that bike he's riding, and
yeah,
he's finishing
and,
at least and he's more or been, less equal with Vinales and Rossi.
He's always been good about managing the tires, and MotoGP, the top level, is about managing the tires, right? He's been good at that. He's been good at some of the other things. I think Rossi and Vinales probably have better bikes. The problem is sometimes you get a little too good of a bike, right? I especially in like road racing and stuff,
well,
right? Like I watch I watched like the Lamar racing.
I don't know if you can really say it because if that was the case, then Dovey, well, and his teammate.
I think Dovey's winning on a kind of inferior bike. I think Dovey is making that statement.
It may be somewhat inferior in the turns, but it is definitely not inferior straight line.
On the straight line. You know, so I think it's the level
but the
that
Honda
you're
was
riding.
Keeping the Honda was not fading on the straight lines as much on this last race as it had been in earlier races.
Yeah.
So Honda's found something and tweaked something.
Right. Honda's tweaked
it can't
something.
Quite keep up, but it's not losing what
it was. I don't think factory Yamaha has done that, you know, and I think the satellite Yamaha, right, it's different engineers. It's different
I understand
teams.
That, but it's I still think Zarco chiefs. On the factory bike would be doing at least as well as he's doing now, if not better.
Probably, right? I would say probably. I wouldn't argue that. The Tech 3 Yamaha has always been a good bike, right? I mean, that's what Ben Spies came up on, and it was a good bike, right? And it's been a good bike for a lot of years now, just like the... Well, just like the Honda that Crutchlow is on.
And we know Zarco's not going anywhere next year because Rossi's not leaving and Vinales isn't leaving.
Right. Rossi's not leaving. Vinales not leaving. But we do know Scott Redding is switching to the Aprilia. He's taking Alicia Spargo.
Really? I hadn't
ride.
Heard that.
Yes, that came out yesterday.
So where's Alicia going? Or has he lost the ride?
I'm sorry. It's not.
Pole?
He's going to be riding with Alicia Spargo. Okay. I'm sorry. He's taking Sam Lowe's ride.
Ooh. Is Sam out?
I'm thinking Sam's out. He crashes a lot.
Yeah.
The Lowe's brothers are known for crashing.
He does, but does stay up, he does okay.
Yeah, I think he might be better off going over to World Superbike. I don't know. I don't know if Sam Lowe's is going to get offered a decent ride in MotoGP. Right? Because I'm in MotoGP. I'm probably bringing Morbidelli up.
That's one you can bring up. Is there anyone else?
Maybe Marquez.
Well, last year they brought Zarco and Renz up.
Here's what I don't know is if the Marquez brothers have a Honda.
Well.
But I don't think Renz was in Moto2 long enough.
Well, he's also not on a very, you know, his team is.
Yeah,
not,
he's on the Suzuki, but I don't know if Renz, in my opinion. In my opinion, Renz should have stayed one more year in Moto2. That's just my opinion. Lowe's, I think Lowe's.
But you can't turn down the offer if it comes.
I don't think Ludi's going to get an offer because I just think he's too old. Right, and he's been doing it.
So
a while.
Is there any? I really can't see them bringing Marquez up. To be honest with you,
you know,
if he finishes second in points.
Which I'm not sure he will.
I don't think he will. He's going to be tight.
But I think Bagnaia and Pacini have both been getting a lot of press. I don't know. I think those are your two future stars for next year. I think the fight for the championship next year, if he stays, will be Marquez, Ludi, Bagnaia, Pacini. I think Morbidelli's going to be gone. And I think Morbidelli will get a better ride than Alex Lowe's will be offered.
I don't see
a spot for Lowe's.
Because especially with Zarco's success.
Unless Lowe's goes to World Superbike.
Especially with Zarco's success. You know, he comes up and he lights the world on fire. And is this the next Moto2 guy going to do the same thing?
Right. You know, people are looking for that instant win kind of thing. And I just don't know. I just don't know if Lowe's is capable of instant wins. I don't want to sound like a jerk, but I don't think he is. That's kind of where they are. Next week, they are they don't race next week. It's about 3 weeks from now. They will be in where were they? They'll be at the Mastercard di San Marino della Riviera di Rimini. It's the Mazzano World Circuit. Marco Simoncelli, the worst track name on the face of the planet. But whatever, if you have the money to spend. This week, we have World Superbike. Is this weekend?
Is it?
I believe so. Why do you question me like that?
Because I'm thinking it was like another 2 weeks away.
No, it is. Where is it? It is the August 18th through 20th. It's their German round. They are going to be at the Lausitzring. Lausitzring? Lausitzring in Germany. It's in Brandenburg, Germany. And they are this weekend. So get your picks in and stuff like that. I can't think of anything else.
We're running out of time, so I'm just going to talk real quick a little bit about Moto America because I watched the races this weekend. Some great racing.
You were the one.
I was the one.
No, I actually know there was two. I heard there was some controversy. I heard that Josh Herring got penalized.
He did.
For running in some old man on the track.
Yeah, but in the...
sorry about that.
It was right. So in the Super Sport, Gerloff and Beach went 1-2 again. So is Gerloff to lose? Doghouse guest Jason Ruby is now running in Middle America. He finished third in Utah last week. Finished in the top 10 the first race. Got pinched out bad in the second race. It was horrible.
Who won the superbikes?
Bouvier. Yeah, won both of them.
So Yamaha back on top, wrestling it away from Suzuki. And there was a little bit of controversy there where apparently AMA, who has nothing to do with the series anymore, stepped in and put down a penalty. That's what I think about that. We'll be back next week. More Bat Time. Same Bat Time, same Bat Channel.
Don't push this button, because that will set off the bomb immediately and we'll all be dead. Now repeat back what I just said.